Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everyone, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. Joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Chris Woodward has left the show for the remainder. He's going back to his real job. And then Steve Paisley Jordahl, comes in to fill in those shoes. Good morning, Steve.
Oh, okay. It's hard to fill his shoes.
Yeah.
Can only hope to follow him. But yeah.
Here
but
I can't am. Fill his shoes.
That's right.
You're just going to follow.
I could
follow in his footsteps.
I could fill his shoes and more simply because my feet are a lot bigger than his. So.
All right, Steve.
Can I add my happy birthday to you?
Yes, you can.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Do you know what the number one song on Billboard was the day you were born?
I have no idea.
Well, he wasn't listening.
This was it.
Where are you, little star?
Where are you?
Oh, rat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a-tat-a
star kind of ruined it. But that's kind of crooner. Is that a crooner? Is that considered a crooner?
Yeah.
Who was that?
I have to look it up. Man, I had
all the music was like that.
Different world back then.
Let me tell you, that little clip of a song you played made me feel older than anything else because that sounds ancient. That sounds ancient.
What I'm seeing is black and white.
Yes, black and white, definitely.
Lip sync video.
Whoever's singing it is in a suit and tie.
That's right.
The elegance.
The elegance.
Yeah, this is them.
Suit and tie.
There you go. Yeah.
They're very white, too, by the way.
Yes. So, listen, a lot has changed, and the necessity, dispensing with the necessity of wearing a suit and tie outside your house is a good development. I'm glad we're in 2024.
Yeah, right. You ever see the old pictures of ball games, like in the 50s?
Yeah.
All the guys who were in ties?
Some of them in hats. And
yeah.
Yeah. Listen,
these days you're kind of glad that people are wearing pants.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
Really.
Listen, on into the 60s, people went to church in suits and ties. Men, oh, yes. I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
My dad went to work in a suit and tie every day of his life till he retired.
You know, I have to confess.
I have jeans on today.
Maybe I'm so really showing my age, but I kind of miss some of that.
What, the suit and tie?
The formality.
Yeah.
Particularly with the airlines. You know, now there's some airlines, if you watch the flight attendants for some of the big airlines out of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Those ladies, what airline is it? They really dress nicely.
Yeah.
And nice makeup and the whole thing.
Yeah.
In my time growing up, I remember Pan American Airlines.
Yeah.
And how those ladies, the flight attendants, used to dress. That was really cool.
They were called stewardesses back then.
Yes.
Yeah, they were. You can't call them stewardesses now.
Compared to the day when it's kind of cattle car, you know?
Yes.
There are certain airlines where you may be taking your life in your hands.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the plane crash.
Oh, I can mention. I'll mention those later. And by the way, your airline attendant, maybe non-binary in a lot of these airlines, too.
Yeah. The whole world's losing its mind. Well, not the whole world. The West seems to be losing its mind. So I do not miss this. I went to an all-boys Catholic high school.
Very strict.
It was suit, coat, and tie.
Yeah.
Every day.
Uh-huh.
And I don't miss that at all.
No.
It was pretty strict. Although I do remember the day when Brother John, who was the principal, slapped a kid. It was all of us go changing classes, and you went downstairs, and there's two floors, and some kid was mouthing off to him, and he just hauled off and popped him, sent his head spinning. And I was like, whoop, I think I was a freshman.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, you don't mess with Brother John.
Did he yell, "Be healed"?
No, that was not. He might have... Yeah, I don't think anything happened to him. Went to that school. You just it was no nuns with a ruler on your hand.
Yes.
So anyway,
all right.
That's back to The good old days. I don't miss most of that. Fred does.
Fred misses
Sucos.
Well, the good old
ties.
Days in Canada were way different than the good old days here.
Yeah.
And the current days in Canada are way different than the current days here,
yes,
too.
They are.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Trudeau.
Very true. Very true.
All right. Take us away, Calgon.
You mentioned this story a little bit in the first hour. I wanted to talk about it. The guy who founded the tech platform Telegram, his name is Pavel Durov, and I don't believe he's related to Pavel Chekhov, but I'm not sure.
Nice.
He has been arrested in Paris for allowing his platform a little too much free speech. So this is what the New York Times is saying, that the Telegram is central to everyday life in countries like Russia, Ukraine, and India. He started a tech company in Russia and then quit when the Russian government and Vladimir Putin, for some reason, didn't want him to exercise free speech in Russia.
Right.
I don't know why. Yeah, he was giving platform to opposing candidates. So he moved, got a French citizenship, and now he started Telegram, which is huge. And the platform has helped people living under authoritarian governments communicate and organize, but has also made an app a haven for disinformation, far-right extremism, and other harmful comments. And specifically what they're saying is that it was on the radar of law enforcement agencies around the world because terrorist organizations, drug dealers, weapons dealers, and far-right extremist groups have used it for communicating, recruiting, and organizing. So he was arrested. Free speech, not that well in Europe. And do you remember the Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, Vindman? He was the
vaguely
little weasel guy. I mean, he looks like the kind of man that the Democrats are pushing now with Tim Walz and Kamala's husband. Kind of diminutive. He just doesn't. Anyway, he was the one. He was a key witness in the impeachment trial against former Donald Trump. Not that I'm biased or anything, but he says, watch out, Elon. This is what he wrote. While Durov holds French citizenship, quote, I'm quoting, is arrested for violating French law, this has broader implications for other social media, including Twitter. There's a growing intolerance for platforming disinfo and malign influence and growing appetite for accountability. Musk should be nervous. When he got a lot of pushback, he doubled down, and he said, generous, significant backlash prompting him to double down on a follow-up post where he railed against free speech absolutist weirdos.
Free speech absolutist weirdos. Fred, my understanding from what Steve's saying, I'm also looking at an AP story on this, that that Pavel Durov has been detained and arrested. Okay, now the charges are that the platform Telegram has been used for money laundering, drug trafficking, and other offenses. But it sounds like from this guy, what's his name, Alexander?
Vindman.
Oh, Vindman.
Vindman. Vindman.
It sounds like the real complaint is the free speech angle.
Yeah.
Telegram, and of course with X, formerly known as Twitter, with Elon Musk. Now, admittedly, this is still pretty new for developed nations. Having these platforms, what is their role? Are they publishers? Are they, you know, all those kinds of questions are still being sorted out. But it seems to me the real reason they're going after Durov is because it is a platform that wants more and more free speech. And the globalists and the leftists do not want free speech. They want controlled speech.
Well, we saw this, and I go back to COVID days here in this country. Someone with a slightly different opinion than Dr. Fauci,
right,
and the administration, what happened to them? It happened to our program when we started talking about
ivermectin.
Yes, we started talking about that. What happened? We were taken down.
Right.
And it wasn't because that was a wacko idea. We were just talking about the fact some people were being helped by that.
Yeah.
But the government said, and their mainstream media allies were basically saying, no, it's got to be the government line or nothing at all.
Yes.
We're living in a very, I believe, very dangerous time. because that mentality is taking deep root. And it goes to what we're seeing on college campuses. You know, I think that story is continuing to unfold. On college campuses, they like to talk about Islamophobia.
Right.
All right. What a terrible thing that is. But we didn't know what Jewish students were facing on our campuses until these protests.
Right.
That erupted after October the 7th. Protests against Israel and those Jewish students. The Jewish student says, I can't walk around with a piece of jewelry on my neck that has a Star of David on it.
Right.
Or I'll be persecuted. The universities knew this. But because that speech was not protected, I'm talking about a piece of jewelry with the Star of David right. on it, we don't want to interfere with those who are attacking these Jewish students. That's interfering with their free speech rights. But you Jewish people, kind of tone it down, take that jewelry off. Don't let people know you're Jewish. This was happening right here in our American campuses
right.
in this country. So beware. This is not a small thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we need to be really careful of this because there is, it's a globalist agenda, but I believe you have a government in Washington, D.C. right now and some state governments that are quite willing to go along with this.
And social media platforms themselves are willing to shut the door on free speech, as you were mentioning.
And Christians better be careful. Christians don't say, well, that's just happening to Jewish students. No. Listen, they're coming for you too, Christian students. If you express the point of view in your classroom that I believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to spend eternity in hell. We're about that close for that right. kind of speech to be outlawed in classrooms.
Yes.
I played this clip for you. I didn't cut it, but I think I can. We'll see if this works. But Tim Walz, the vice presidential candidate for the Democrat Party, this is his view on free speech. Let's see if they can make this work.
Yeah, I think we're not getting that. We will right. try to get.
He said Tim Walz is basically saying there's no First Amendment protection against hate speech,
right? Or against misinformation.
He's wrong.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, how does he define hate speech?
Or how does he define even as frightening as the hate speech thing? How does someone like Tim Walz define misinformation?
Yes.
So it goes to the point you were making. We can't even have a scientific debate. During COVID, there were medical health professionals, some of them way up the food chain
yes.
in terms of their credentials, were saying, listen, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin may have a role to play. They were shut down for misinformation. People who said masks don't work, we all remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Who defines what misinformation is? Now, we're getting closer and closer to the Brave New World of George Orwell when you have officially approved free speech. Yes. That's not free speech at all.
No.
All right, Steve.
All right, just in time for an election, we're going to see cheaper gas. A coincidence? I think not. So there's a couple things that are happening right prior to this election I think I would just like to let you know about. There will be, according to NPR and other sources, the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline right now has fallen more than 20 cents since May, and is expected to possibly lead to $3 a gallon gas for the first time since 2021.
That's a national average.
National average. It's $4.59 in California, and it's $2.93 here in Mississippi. That's the high and the low in the country.
Okay.
Now, they are saying at summer it always ramps up. They always produce a little more fuel in the summer because people are driving and everything.
Right.
We haven't had hurricanes near as much as they thought they were, knocking off oil towers and processing plants to the coast. But there's that. And then let me say this. The director general of the WHO, Tedros Ghebreyesus, has determined that there is an upsurge of mpox in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Africa. That used to be called monkeypox.
Yeah.
It's in humans. And he is declaring a public health emergency of international concern.
Well, good luck with that.
Just in time for an election coming around. A coincidence?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good.
I'm not saying that there's not an increase in mpox. I know.
Why'd they switch from monkeypox to mpox?
I think they were worried about being animist against monkeys. You know,
discriminatory.
Speciesism.
Speciesism.
Right. Yeah. So.
Speciesism.
They also have been. They now are coming out with. I have a story running. I think it's today. With new vaccines for COVID. They have approved new vaccines for COVID that are coming out. Millions of doses shipping in the next day or two, but for strands that have largely gone away. They're a generation or so behind.
Oh, wow.
So, and they're still not safe. They're a little safer than they were before, but still not safe. All of these things conspiring. My message to you out there, my dear listener, is things are going to seem to get better between now and November. Whatever the federal government, the Biden-Harris administration can manipulate to look good, they're going to do it. It's smoke and mirrors. They're going to go back to the spending. They're going to go back. They're going to stop raiding the reserve fuel, if that's what they're doing, or whatever, after the election. But they're making it look better so that you'll vote for them. Don't fall for it.
Yeah, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the President Biden tapped into that, Fred, to try to drive down prices.
Yes.
But that's an artificial attempt. It's not going to counter the very strong market forces that drove those fuel prices up. And for poor folks like Brent Creeley, our producer, who has still has a pickup truck that is diesel,
yes.
The diesel folks are really hurting.
Mm-hmm.
But these kinds of shenanigans go on whenever a president wants to try to preserve his or her chances at reelection. We understand that. But the radicals on the left of the Democratic Party, make no mistake, if they get into power,
yes,
all that stuff is going back up. All those prices are going back up when they're spending trillions of dollars, where the spending plans kicks in, when they continue to clamp down on oil production in this country and natural gas production, all that's going back up. When all their green new deal plans are instituted, they get rid of traditional air conditioners and your gas stove. They get rid of all these things. All your prices are going to go through the roof. Whatever little downtick they get is going to be overwhelmed. It's going to be a tsunami of rising prices in the attempt to control this economy.
Well, I was talking to a few people in the last week or so about, the election campaign is on and what is being said, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, look, the one good thing we have right now in this election cycle, we have a record of this administration. And what was it, on border security? What did Joe Biden do? He ceased building the wall.
Right.
He told us even before he was elected, Joe Biden did, he would invite a surge at the border. He invited an invasion of this country.
Yes.
And he's got it. Yes, he's allowed it. At least 10 million people into the country.
Some estimates upwards towards 30.
Yes, upwards 30. Yeah, 10 million, I think it's actually 8 million and something official record.
Right.
But it's well beyond that. So you have that on the border. You have the environmental agencies under this administration. They have talked about 67% of the new cars, and I forget what the particular date is.
I think it's 2032.
Have to be electric.
Yeah.
Folks, the record is there of their agenda. Just look at it. Don't even take our word for it.
Right.
Just look at what their plans are. They haven't given up on those plans.
Oh, Kamala Harris, Steve, saying she wants price controls. That was her big attempt to grab the wheels of for economic planning was price controls, which they had in Venezuela. It was in the 1950s, the fourth wealthiest economy in the world, And in the 70s and 80s, it was the number one wealthiest country in Latin America, in South America, I think. Now 75% of the people in Venezuela are in extreme poverty.
Oh, it's awful there. So she's walked that back slightly, or her team has. She hasn't said anything about her policies, but her team has walked that back slightly, saying, "Oh, she didn't mean that. She's just going to be just for supermarket things, and only in dire emergencies." Terms of which she never defines. Here's the other thing that she said was her policy. It's tax on unrealized income.
Yes,
that means if you own stock, and you say, "Oh, I'm not wealthy. I don't own stock." Do you have a retirement plan for your work? You own stock. If that stock goes up, or maybe the value of your house goes up by, let's say your value of your house goes up over a year by $20,000, you haven't sold the house, it's just worth more. She wants to tax you on that money that you haven't actually realized, haven't made. It's just on paper, but you're going to get taxed in real dollars for it.
Yeah, now the Kamala Harris campaign has said that this is only going to be on people who are worth $400 million and up. So I do want to be fair about that claim, that pushback on it. But I'm sorry, I don't believe that that is where it's going to stay, because the trillions of dollars they want to spend, they are not going to be able to get it just by draining money out of the bank accounts of wealthy people.
Nope.
What else we got?
All right, let's end here. The poor man. I want to give a shout-out to Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams, two astronauts that went up for an 8-day visit to the International Space Station, only to find that the Boeing Starliner that they flew up on was having some hydrogen leaks as it was docked to the space station, and they didn't know how to get them down. They've been up there now 3 months, and it looks like they're going to be up there another 6 months. It was supposed to be 8 days. Because Boeing can't seem to get its manufacturing together. Everything, now, here on Earth, we got Boeing parts falling off planes.
Right.
It's just been one PR disaster after another. But they're going to have to get, Elon Musk is going to have to retrofit one of his space vehicles to go up and rescue them. And they're not any too happy about it.
And there was something I had read, that there was something wrong with the suits that
yes.
they have.
The right, suits Brett? Are not compatible, like with the Russian spacecraft that go up there.
Yeah.
The suits that the Boeing crew, it doesn't fit the nozzles where the oxygen comes in, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why they have to wait for Elon Musk, SpaceX, I guess it is.
SpaceX, yeah.
To fit his capsule so that those suits will work so they can go up and bring them home.
You know, let me just toss this to you guys here. We got 60 seconds or so. Either one of you can jump in here. Elon Musk has had quite a run here. I don't know. How many of us heard of Elon Musk 10 years ago? I just can't remember when he started coming into the public eye. But this guy is on quite a run.
He was already – he had a tunneling company that digs tunnels for subways and everything, made millions and millions of dollars off of it. He has so many irons and so many fires. He is an amazing, amazing man.
Yeah, he's by all accounts, a genius. And now if he's the one who rescues these two people,
mm-hmm.
his fame only grows.
Yeah.
What's he going to buy next?
Facebook, hopefully.
Yeah, Facebook. Oh, man. All right, folks. Guess what? That's it. That's all the time we have for today's issues today. But good news, Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow with more of today's issues. There's more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Download the app if you don't have it, the AFR app, and let your friends know about it so they can listen to AFR wherever they go and wherever they have a strong signal. Anyway, again, more great programming directly ahead. Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow.